Cheater on the Rood with Lee Papa and Jeff Chrysler, Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Radio Network.
And welcome to Cheater and the Rood on Progressive Radio Network. With your Occupy the World coverage, I'm Jeff Chrysler, author of Get Rich Cheating.
And I'm Lee Papa, the writer of the blog The Rood Pundit.
And today we are in two distinct locations covering sort of the same story but with different angles. I am coming to you live from Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C. on Pennsylvania and 15th. I've spent a few days up at Occupy New York, and Occupy DC is definitely a different feel, at least on the surface, and what it physically is like. I'm in a giant open space plaza, whereas New York, because the buildings are right on top of you, but down the street one way I'm looking at the U.S. Capitol building, which right now has the sun peeking through the clouds and striking it, lighting it up. And if I turn around the other way, I've got the White House and the Leaning Tower of the Washington Monument. And on the way down here, I passed by the American Bar Association and the Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit. I mean, this is, at least in theory, where power is wielded. And the protests themselves, they're actually split into two. I was up at McPherson Park. I don't know if there's a duel or a feud. I'm not getting concerned about that. It was a smaller group, and they claim that they were, you know, started at first, whereas down here it's a larger plaza. But it also, it's just sort of, it seems to feel like a tent city. It doesn't have the buzz that I think was going on in New York, neither good nor bad. And the one thing I've noticed off the bat is there is a real lack of the youth presence that was up in New York. It seems to be an older crowd. Maybe it's the time of day. Visually, it does strike me as different, but as we will find when we talk to them in a little bit, I imagine that their concerns and their opinions are strikingly the same. Lee, give us a little report from New York before we get out and talk.
Yeah, I'm here down in Liberty Plaza, Zuccotti Park in Lower Manhattan, once again, and today was interesting because it seems it's essentially the calm before the storm. The mayor of New York, Mike Bloomberg, and the owners of the park, Brookfield Group, have asked that the park be emptied so that it can be cleaned, saying that the conditions here are unsanitary. Now, the organizers here at a General Assembly meeting early this afternoon, they said that they were not going to move, that this is an occupation, not a permitted picnic, was one of the quotes, and today they are cleaning the park themselves, as they said, to call Bloomberg's bluff. In fact, right now all around me are people scrubbing, using bleach to get out any kind of paint stains from any of the signs that have been made. The other thing is that the order is that people leave the park by 7 a.m. tomorrow morning, Friday morning, and they have asked anybody who can to come down here at 6 a.m., and they are going to lock arms and surround the park and blockade it and not allow anybody to come in to try to evict them. So they are pushing towards nonviolent action, prepared, as they have already said, for arrests. And also they have gotten the support of unions in this action. The unions have condemned Bloomberg, saying that he's the billionaire mayor that they don't trust, and they don't trust his friends on Wall Street. The legal side of things, the lawyers for the Occupy Wall Street movement are consulting with the ACLU and possible litigation to halt the eviction. But either way, it looks like there's some kind of coming to a head tomorrow morning where people will either be forcibly evicted and arrested, or Bloomberg and the police and the owners of the park will back down.
You know, Bloomberg was such a cuddly mayor. He rode the subway like the rest of us. But yeah, it sounds like, are people, is there like a tension there? Are people girding
up
for this?
Actually, you know, essentially, one guy said, now I can take off my journalist hat and go back to my other hat. Now
the
people are essentially,
funded.
Yeah, fuck Bloomberg. That fucker didn't come from, that fucker's not even from New York. Tell him to go back to Massachusetts. And actually what's going on here is kind of a good vibe. It is people working together to scrub the park clean. And it's really funny because if you're in New York, you know, this park is, even with all these people here, even covered in all of the tarps and sleeping bags and everything, you know, there's a lot of shittier parks, looking parks right now, probably within a couple of blocks of this one. And so it's a fucking farce that Bloomberg is actually pushing this. But to their credit, I mean, people are digging in and they are cleaning. In fact, I could talk to somebody if they want who's sweeping right now. Hi.
Oh, sure, you get to talk to the sweepers.
Yeah. I'm actually doing a radio show right now on the Progressive Radio Network, and I wondered if I could ask you about your sweeping, and so what are you hoping happens because of this, because you're cleaning up?
Well, hoping that there's no need for anybody to move out because things are clean, and just caring for the space.
Yeah. How long have you been here?
I've been in and out for the last 4 days. So.
And where are you from?
Vancouver, British Columbia.
Wow. Okay. So what brought you down?
Other things brought me down, but a general interest in standing with this community. And when I go back to Vancouver, we'll be a part of Occupy Vancouver.
And you're a minister?
I am. Yep.
In what church?
The Baptist Church.
The Baptist Church.
Yep.
That's great. And did you just pick up a broom or did somebody assign you or?
I asked what we could do to help and I handed a broom. So.
Well, thanks very much. So there you go. Happily cleaning. Baptist minister from Vancouver. Happily cleaning a New York park.
Well, I've got someone here. They may not be all the way from British Columbia, but I made it. What sounds like it was an arduous journey to get down here to Occupy DC. And I do want to go back after we talk with a couple of people and talk about what's going on with Bloomberg and everything. But
yeah,
sir, you told me briefly that you biked down here from Vermont. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about that and why you decided to make that trek? And if you stopped off in New York, also, and how it compares. A lot of questions.
I lost everything. I lost my house. I lost my my business. And me and some friends were sitting around in a bar griping every day. And so I decided that it wasn't worth anything to sit there and gripe. I wanted to come down and be somewhere where it would actually matter. And to me, it wasn't in New York, although I did go there, but it was about here.
Why was that? Was that because you, like I told our listeners over there, you look around and these are, you know, there's the Capitol, there's the White House, there's the real power?
That's right. That's right. This is where it all begins. This is the allowance.
So you rode your bike down here from Vermont. How long did that trip take?
Oh, 16 days.
Were there moments of doubting the long ride? And if so, what kind of got you through, if anything?
Well, initially, I didn't start out on the ride to do this, what I'm at now, but it overwhelmed me that it was actually happening, so I had to become a part of it.
And have you, how's your experience down here been? Have you felt some good moments? Have you felt like the group has reached people or that you've reached some people? Is there more you want to accomplish while you're down here?
I would like to see more people here. But I would like to see unity amongst more people, you know. We may have different issues of why we're here, but I think that we're here for the same reason.
One thing that I noticed the difference between here in New York and maybe some of the other people around here can answer is there's not as much of a youth presence. In New York, there was more majority youth. And now, what's that? Oh, because they're at the other one. I don't know if you can hear this. It's fun.
Hi. People,
yeah. There is another occupation called Occupy DC, mm-hmm. and that's at McPherson Square, about a block and a half from the White House. And that actually, whereas this occupation was in the works for months. We had organizers, we had a stage, we of course are, you know, resourced out to the hill, we really were planned, and there was just kind of a happenstance, a happy happenstance that Wall Street occurred, and so that gave us a better context for what we were doing. But what happened also is that, you know, there was kind of an organic response to Wall Street here in D.C., and those folks gathered in McPherson Park.
Well, it sounds like different.
Mostly, you know, a little bit of a different demographic. They're mostly young, and also whereas most of us belong to established peace groups like Vets for Peace,
okay.
World Can't Wait, Code Pink Women for Peace, most of those folks are kind of unaffiliated.
Which is interesting. It sounds like different sprouts have grown from kind of the same rain. Cool. Let me let my co-host talk to a couple of people in New York, and then we'll continue this conversation because I think it's symbolic of like the group's efforts to all come together. Lee?
Sorry, I was just, you know, thinking, fuck off, we're the Liberation Front of Palestine, if I can geek out for a moment. Wow, did I just say something insulting about the whole thing? I'm sorry.
I think it's a valid point. I mean, you know, one thing that I noticed down here in D.C. is there are, I don't think there's dueling groups, but they're in different places. And I think the effort is going to be to make sure that everyone remembers they're all working for the same thing. And that can happen across the country.
Right.
I mean, it's unity. I mean, it's as simple as, you know, Norma Rae holding up the union sign. It's a Norma Rae, you know what I'm talking about, as long as you're...
Yes. Now, you know, they're actually having workshops here direct action, nonviolent protest, people are gathering around to learn what they should do if they are arrested, what their rights are, what they need to do. Also today there were visits from Tom Morello of Rage Against the Machine. And I am led to believe that this means something. The rapper David Banner, who was here talking.
I don't know David Banner. Is he the guy that turns into the Hulk?
Well, yes. Well, that's Bruce Banner. So this is David Banner, and I guess that I don't know what he turns into. But also there was that training. There were those celebrities here. And, you know, it's actually strange. I would say that there's a great many more older people here than we've seen here in the last few weeks, since you were talking about the age range of people where you were. And there's also a performance area, and now here where musicians come out and play guitar and sing. And there's a real sense, I mean, one of the things that I found interesting about the meeting earlier today was just how much this had in common with sort of conservative/libertarian movements. Essentially what they're saying by cleaning the park themselves is we don't want government to do this. We want to do this ourselves. This is, it's sort of...
We just want efforts to be fairly treated.
Right, to be fairly treated, but also we don't need government to take care of this, is what they were saying. We have formed, and this was something else that was said, we are forming a society here that we want reflected elsewhere. And so with that in mind, that's why they are resisting government interference in what they say is the beginning of a kind of society with an occupation of an area. I mean, it's really got the... Now it sort of raises the stake. Now we are actually taking property. And
yeah. That's something intense.
That's intense. Are you...
I got a couple... I found the youth of America here in D.C.
Hang on a quick second. I'm going to interrupt somebody's lunch here.
Okay, well...
I'm actually on a radio show, Progressive Radio Network. Yes. Can I ask what brings you out here?
Because I'm that 99. Because I lost my job due to a business decision where my job was sent to India, and I resented the fact that Kanter looked at the people as a mob, and I resent the fact that Kane said that we need to, like, we're jealous people. No, we're just people who would like to have a job, be able to, if you leave a job, have another job to go to. And all these decisions are made because of a CEO at a board meeting where no one else but those people in that room make that decision about all our lives, and we have no control.
Are you, you're part of the electrical workers union?
No, I'm not. I'm, what it is, my husband, well, he works for the telephone company.
Oh, okay.
No, I just came on my own because I just felt like, I've always said, these CEOs need to be arrested for treason because what they have done, they have undermined the quality of American life. And I said this like 10 years ago because you just see different groups' jobs are leaving. Now all of our jobs are gone and we have nothing.
Thank you very much.
Lee, I'm here with a couple of young folks. One young woman's holding a sign that says the answer to 1984 is 1776. I dig that sign. That's what drew me over here. And the other sign says, tax the hell out of multi-rich, more money for poor, refugee ministries of St. Petersburg, Florida. You guys from St. Petersburg?
I am. My name's Harry Hoffman, and I'm up here to let the president know that I am sick and tired of this presidential administration not listening to the American people. And I'm not just talking about people like myself, but the Asian American, the Japanese American, the Chinese American, all of us are combined, the African American communities as well. We are the poor people of this great nation, and he needs to step his game up and talk to us young people that are still in our 20s and early 30s.
Why do you think it's so important to talk to the people in the 20s and 30s? I mean, besides that it's you right now, what is it that really strikes you about that group?
Because we can make this a better nation if he will give us the time and day to do so.
All right, well, thanks. Let me ask you, young lady, where are you from and what brought you here this week or today, whenever you got here?
My name's Kat, and I'm from Northern Virginia. And with all of the occupations that are going on around the country, it's a nonviolent, transformative social movement. And I'm here, I've been doing free hugs all week. I've been here for 8 days, and I passed out candy one night, just free candy for people. And I'm here spreading positivity and just, like, keeping people, like, open-minded and...
Oh. Great. Well, it sounds like we got some positivity mixing with a gentleman who really feels strongly about what's going on. I think that's the way the message is going to get transmitted, is to not be all rage and not be completely positive and blind to the rage. And maybe between the two of you can make some sort of change, baby.
What I've been telling people is, like, with the open-mindedness, is if you love pickles and you meet somebody who hates pickles, or vice versa, if you hate pickles and you meet somebody who loves pickles, you're both entitled to your opinions, and you just have to remind yourself they're just pickles. Like,
makes me hungry. Thank you both for your time. Thank you.
Did you get a hug?
I didn't get a hug. I'll get a hug after the show. I'll be back. I'll be back for my hug. It reminds me of something actually that came up yesterday when I was doing my cheating show. We had this discussion about the fact that, you know, right now in the American political dialogue, it's either I think America's great or America is terrible. When I think the true message needs to be America's pretty good, but it needs to get better. You know, you compare it to other countries out there, and, you know, in many ways, America is one of the best countries and is the most progressive country and has the most X, Y, and Z compared to others, but that doesn't mean that we're perfect. You can still question the flaws and try to improve things without saying things are terrible. And I wish that our political dialogue wasn't 100% or 0%. I wish that we realized we could play in the 75% and get up to 80 and up to 85, if I can mix my metaphors.
Well, yeah, but what you're pointing to is that there's been such a poisoning going on of the of political rhetoric in this country. You know, it's either are you a motherfucker or a cocksucker is really the way that our dialogue has evolved to that point. And, you know, pick your side.
So you're saying that what America needs is more bisexuality?
Oh, well, I believe that every nation could use more bisexuality. And I imagine if I ask the right people in this crowd, I will actually get a great deal of bisexuality. Speaking of multi kinds of things, I have now,
yeah.
I let's see, today I've seen reporters from Ecuador and Turkey, and just to put it in perspective, everybody thinks that maybe the international media is covering this more than the American media. There is a CNN truck right here, as well as all the local news trucks, but there is a CNN truck I'm looking at right now.
Well, CNN was told there's going to be chaos tomorrow. You know what's interesting about the whole thing tomorrow is another discussion that came up the other night was from this behavioral economist, this guy that's studied movements over the years, that opinions swing wildly, popular opinion, when a movement takes on violence, when there's any violence associated. So,
hey, hang on a quick second. Hang on. I just want to see if I can get... Excuse me. Hey,
sure. Why don't
I'm actually on a show on the Progressive Radio Network right now. Do you mind if I ask you a couple of questions?
Sure.
Is that okay? Not to put you on the spot, but you were up. You were up today at the General Assembly earlier, talking.
I was. Yeah. No, that
was. No, that wasn't you. Okay.
No.
Okay.
It wasn't me. I'm just doing a little training here.
Oh, okay. Are you doing the nonviolent? Oh, okay. What training?
How to communicate your message.
Okay. What are the pointers you're giving to people?
You know, ground yourself in your reasons for being here. Emphasize the issues that you're concerned about rather than the tactics. It's easy to talk about things like marches and we did this and the blow-by-blow, and a lot of times reporters want to focus in on those. A lot of times reporters want to focus in on those things because they actually don't really know about the issues, but the issues are why we're here, and that's what people should talk about. So we kind of do that. Just techniques for staying grounded, breathing, controlling the pace of the interview instead of getting flustered. So it's kind of a confidence boost. You know, a lot of times it's intimidating to talk to a reporter. Thanks very much. Yeah.
That's pretty cool that they're actually training people here and how to talk to the vast, vast numbers of media that are here. Sorry about fucking up who that was early on, but
that's okay.
Anyway.
All white people look the same to you.
Yeah, they do.
Well, communication, you know, I've said on the grander political scale, it's all about messaging, and the right is a great messaging group. And if it's especially such a divergent group of people wants to say something, they have to be able to say it. Well, that's what I was saying, because I don't want to lose a train of thought, because I'm sensing a potential for something to happen tomorrow. Is there's some sign of something's going on here. I'm supposed to get distracted.
Oh,
are there people coming
going on
here?
There?
Yeah, is there Hold on one second. There seems to be a group of sirens and everyone's moving to look. And no,
yeah.
It's not. It sounded like maybe they were coming in with the blast shields and the tasers to knock us all down, but unfortunately it's not a movie. What I was going to say was that movements often lose their popular support when they become violent, or seem to be. And it strikes me that tomorrow it could be a provocation to get that one spark of violence so that then everyone could say, oh, this is just a violent, anarchistic, you know the word, group, and then swing popular opinion against it just as popular opinion is building in support of it. However, I hold out hope that with all the various media, both the official media from our country and other countries, and the unofficial YouTube generation cell phone video, that any sort of provocation will be shot from so many angles that they'll be able to show that if the movement is resisting nonviolently, that it was a provocation, it wasn't actually a violent movement. You know, I'm sure Fox News will edit it and James O'Keefe will edit it to make it look like, you know, the hippie punched the old lady, but hopefully we'll have enough countervailing video to show the truth.
I think so. I think that except I think that some people here are really on the verge, and I know they've been mocked, but I think some people are really on the verge of fucking killing the drum circle people who just won't shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I was down there the other night, and then during the General Assembly there was a drum circle going and it made it hard to hear, which was...
Well, then that's what they were announcing. In fact, at the General Assembly today, the human microphone announced, shut the fuck up to the drum circle, because they were trying to get across this really important information about what could potentially happen in the morning. We're at a crossroads here in the protest. Here at Zuccotti Park, this will decide what happens for the next part of it, whether it becomes something that requires more direct action, even more confrontational action, or if it continues as the peaceful occupation it has been.
Well, what'll be interesting to me is to see how many people are participants, how many people are observers, and how many people are tourists. If you know what I mean, like I definitely think.
Well, I think we'll know by who locks arms tomorrow.
Right. Interesting. That's my summation of everything.
It is. I've been out here for most of the day, and it's been fascinating.
Yeah, well, like I said, it's just very, I'm still kind of taking in the scene down here that at least this segment of Occupy DC is, as that woman said, more part of existing groups like Vets for Peace and existing protest groups, with that couple youth over there that I talked to briefly that kind of seemed shocked that anything real was happening.
And one of the things I'd like to emphasize that doesn't get stated enough is just how close we are at Zuccotti Park to the Freedom Tower. And we might have said that before, but saying it again, I mean, it is like a spitting distance, not that you spit on your distance, to the Freedom Tower that's being built and the 9/11 memorial. So,
well, it's all of this. I mean, look, the truth is, as you and I would say, and most people would say, it's of the same spirit. I mean, protesting, whether you agree with it or not, is what got the redcoats out of this country. And so I think it's beautiful.
Did you just say redcoats?
Yeah. Essentially, we're protesting against
the
redcoats.
You went redcoat on me.
Yeah, I'm talking about Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann. And they're red, but no, I'm talking about the guys with the accents and the wigs and the bayonets.
Oh, okay.
I mean, isn't there something patriotic about this movement?
I believe there is. I believe it's very much a patriotic movement. I believe that it's actually more. I mean, people forget that that supporting capitalism and supporting the extremes of capitalism is not the same as supporting democracy, and it's not the same as being patriotic. And I think those things have been conflated.
Yeah. He's here.
Hello.
Okay. Sorry, I was just informed that Patch Adams, the actual Patch Adams that Robin Williams portrayed, is here. I don't know if we're going to have time. Hey, Matt, can you give us a shout-out and let us know how much time we have left? I've kind of lost track.
2.5, but you can go longer.
Okay. I'll see if I can track down Patch Adams. He's kind of surrounded, so it might not happen. But
you're going to track down Patch Adams. You know, I believe that's not a phrase I ever would have thought I would hear somebody utter.
Well, I kind of kept it clean. You want to know I really need a Patch Adams. You can tune in later to my blog. I did nasty things to patchadams.blogspot.com. All right.
Hey, why don't we wrap this up on a high note?
I think we should. It's hot and humid down here. Is the sun broken up out there?
No. It's just humid and miserable. But again, the park is getting probably cleaner than it's been in years. I mean, I've been to Zuccotti Park before. In fact, I'm actually walking past a place where I'm almost positive I remember making out with somebody. I don't remember if it was male or female, but right there on that spot.
Again, that is what is more patriotic than making out with an unknown gender in Zuccotti Park. I'm going to try to do the same thing with Patch Adams down here in Freedom Plaza in Washington, D.C. This has been another Occupy Report from up and down the Eastern Seaboard. I am Jeff Chrysler. Check me out, Jeff Chrysler.
And I'm Lee Papa. You can find me at rudepundit.blogspot.com and on Twitter @RudePundit. You've been listening to Cheater and the Rude
on Progressive Radio Network every Thursday at 8.